This is Lorne Green. It is 1913, and Woodrow Wilson is president of the United States. But on the walls of this Montana schoolroom hang the portraits of two other presidents. George Washington and Abraham Lincoln stare down in a kind of benign severity upon the children working at their desks. It is nearly time for dismissal. Ruth Stoddard smooths back her hair in its tight bun at the nape of her neck. She gazes at her students, knowing the few who love her and the many who laugh at her. She's 30 years old and a spinster. All her world is bounded by the walls of this schoolroom. She looks out one of the high, tall windows. Snow is beginning to fall. At the sight of the soft, white drift, something stirs deep within Ruth. She begins to tremble uncontrollably. She speaks, keeping her voice steady with great effort.
Class, attention, please. It has started to snow. You may leave class a few minutes early. Class is dismissed.
Ruth Stoddard cannot take her eyes from the window and the incipient storm beyond it. Her breath is coming fast in ragged gulps. She tries to force the vision away, but it is upon her. She sees a face. It's her father's face, with dead, staring eyes and rigid, gaping mouth half buried in snow. Ruth can feel herself running, madly running from it, and stumbling, falling in the deep snow, seeing only inches from her eyes a severed hand reaching up from the cold, icy depths.
Ruth, you all right? I was passing by your door. I thought I heard a scream.
Oh, I'm fine. You probably heard one of the children out in the yard shouting.
Oh, yes, probably. Are you certain you're all right? You're as pale as a ghost.
I'm fine, really.
I'll see you tomorrow, then.
Goodbye, Evelyn.
But Ruth Stoddard is far from fine. Alone in her schoolroom, she covers her face with shaking hands. Ruth carries a terrible secret within her, a secret she has kept for long years and even from herself. Only in nightmares would it break through. But today, it forced its way out into the open for a moment, out into a snow-white afternoon reality. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Daddy's Gone by Pamela Russell. Our stars, Gene Howell, Lillian Baev, and Keith Andes.
That night, after sitting silently through supper at the long and loud boarding house dining table, Ruth Stoddard goes up to her room to read English compositions. It's late when she finally goes to bed. She's afraid to sleep, frightened that the nightmare will come. And it does. She awakens in terror and sits up the rest of the night staring out at the white expanse of snow in the blackness. She arrives early at school the next morning. Evelyn sees her in the hall, and noticing her friend's dark-circled eyes and shaken attitude, she insists they have a cup of coffee and talk.
Evelyn, I appreciate your concern,
What is it? What's wrong, Ruth?
It's nothing.
I don't mean to pry, but I know there's something. I can see it in your face. I'm worried about you. I think it might help if you talked about it.
I know you have good intentions.
I care. I want to help if I can.
I know that.
You're always so alone, Ruth. It's not good to be by yourself all the time.
I don't mind. I'm quite used to it now.
I don't believe that.
Well, there was a time when I thought that maybe I might find someone, or someone would find me and we could share, but no, that's not meant for me. Some are born to lead a solitary life. I'm one of those. I've accepted that. I don't mind, not anymore. Really, I don't.
You don't look at all well. Look at your handshake. You can barely hold the cup.
I'm fine.
And I say you're not. You can call me a busybody and snoop, but I know that something is disturbing you. Please, don't bottle it up inside. You'd feel better if you let it out, whatever it may be.
That's just it. I'm not at all certain what I'd be letting out if I did.
What do you mean?
I don't know anymore if it's a dream or...
Or what?
Or... You see, I've had this dream for years. A horrible dream, and always the same. I had it again last night, but it's yesterday that really frightens me.
What happened yesterday?
It came to me in class. In the daytime, not like a dream at all, but the same as the dream. The same thing, but more like a terrible memory.
What is it that you see?
My father's face. His head has been severed from his body, and it's partially covered over with snow. And then I see a hand, his hand, dismembered, reaching out from the snow, reaching out to me as if to pull me down under into that vast, endless cold.
Oh, Ruth, it is awful.
I've had the dreams since my father disappeared, deserted mother and me when I was 10 years old. That's 20 years ago. And suddenly yesterday, I began to wonder if I was dreaming or if I was remembering.
You think that your father might not have run away, but died?
Yes. Died in the snow. Was killed, maybe, in the snow, and I was somehow a part of it. Perhaps I...
Ruth, you can't go on like this, tormenting yourself this way. I know of someone who could possibly help you.
Who?
Tandy Robards.
Oh, I've heard that name, Tandy Robards. The woman who claims to be a seer and who holds seances out at her place by the railroad tracks. That's Tandy Robards.
Yes.
Oh, I could never go to someone like that.
Why not?
Oh, I just couldn't. She's a stranger to me, a total stranger.
Sometimes it's easier with a stranger.
Oh, no, not for me. I couldn't bring myself to tell her these things.
Tandy Robards has very special gifts of perception. She has sight into the future. She hears what you say and what you don't say.
I am not a believer, Evelyn.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you stand another 20 years of the dream?
No. No, I can't.
I'll take you to Tandy Robards. She can look within you. She will tell you what she sees.
I'm not certain I want to know.
We'll go to her tonight.
Yes. All right. Tonight.
Approaching it, it is an ordinary looking house. And Tandy Robards, standing in the doorway, is an ordinary-looking woman. Evelyn and Ruth enter. Once inside, Ruth feels the extraordinary strangeness of the place and the woman.
This is my friend, Ruth Stoddard. Ruth, Tandy Robards.
Hello.
Hello, Ruth. Please come this way. I've fixed tea for us. Oh, this is my special room. When I walk inside, the walls embrace me. I feel a kinship with this spot. Have you a room like this, Ruth?
Oh, I have only the one room in the boarding house where I live, and it's just... it's only a room to me. I never gave any thought to it being any more than that.
Well, rooms will take on the characteristics of those who live in them or have lived in them. They absorb the past and sometimes even reveal it. Rooms are as human as their occupants. This is my room. My very special room. Do you like it, Ruth?
It seems comfortable.
Of what are you afraid, Ruth?
Oh, so many things. Everything, it seems. I thought it would be so difficult to come here and talk with you, but it isn't. Why is that?
I want to listen, to hear you, Ruth. That's why. Now begin in this way. What is the thing you fear most?
The dream. It's about my father. In the dream, he's dead. I see his face and his hand in the snow.
Is your father dead?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since I was a little girl. He ran off from us.
Who is Martha?
That's my mother's name. But how did you know?
These things come to me. I do not question them. I ask that you do not. I'm going to lower the lights now. Don't be afraid, Ruth.
Shall I leave?
No, stay.
No, stay, Evelyn. We need your belief here with us. Ruth, I want you to close your eyes and try to bring forth your dreams. But all of it. Not only the small piece that you have spoken of, but all of it. What do you see? What do you see that you do not speak of? Ruth, tell us, what is it that you see?
I see the snow. It's soft and melting, but cold. Still so cold. I'm walking in the snow and I look back, but there are no footprints. They've already melted away. I feel so strange, invisible. Then I see it protruding. It's a head with Daddy's face. Horrible. Dead. I run and I fall and there's a hand sticking out from the snow, and it's his hand. I crawl away from it, and the wet snow is melting on my coat. I get up, and I begin to run again. I run until I hit up against something tall and stiff, unyielding. It's Mother. She's standing, and her hands are in fists and her apron pockets, and when I look up at her, her face is so hard and tight. She pulls me up the stairs. She's dragging me, and I'm screaming. I'm Daddy! 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 Ruth! Ruth!
Don't speak, Evelyn. Ruth, what more do you see?
Nothing. Nothing more. I'm inside a small place. It's dark. I can't move. I can't see. It's so dark. My coat is wet still. Dark, dark. Have I done something wrong? Then there's nothing, nothing more. That's all there is.
Open your eyes, Ruth.
Ruth?
Evelyn, you know where the kitchen is. Would you go and bring another cup? Ruth has broken hers.
Oh, yes.
Ruth, it's not a dream.
It could be. It could still be.
No. I feel a violent cold fury, like a savage blizzard. But this was a human raging. I can feel it.
Is it mine? Is it my rage? My violence?
You must go to Martha, to your mother.
I'm afraid.
I know, but you must go to her. I feel that she is somehow waiting.
For me?
Yes.
No, maybe not. Maybe she's waiting for Daddy to come back. Maybe that's what she's waiting for. That's what you feel.
No.
Oh, why couldn't it be that?
Because your father is dead. This I know. And you know, Ruth. And so, too, does Martha, your mother, know.
Do the trains come past all through the night? How can you sleep?
There's no sound I like more than that of trains passing in the night. And I rarely sleep.
You don't sleep?
I seem to need only occasional little naps.
Like a cat?
Yes. Exactly like a cat. It's time for us to say goodbye, though we haven't finished our tea. Ruth, go to her. She waits for you and no one else.
I'll go.
You know the way out. Goodbye.
There is a part of Montana known as Mirage Country. Some people say it's a quirk in the atmosphere, and others only shake their heads and wonder at the inexplicable happenings that often occur. Coming down a road a few miles up ahead, a house appears where there is no house and never has been. It stays and stays on the horizon until you believe in it. Then it disappears or flips upside down, and you begin to doubt your eyes and your sanity. Ruth Stoddard is coming into this country to her mother's wheat farm, chasing after her own mirage of murder and madness.
Excuse me, miss.
Yes?
I couldn't help but notice that you've been waiting here a mighty long time since you got off the train. I was watching from the window across the street.
Well, that's the sheriff's office.
Yes, miss. And I'm the sheriff.
Well, then where's Sheriff Tanner?
Oh, Clyde Tanner died last summer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you.
Oh, I didn't really know him well, but...
Well, it's never pleasant news.
No. No, it isn't.
Now, if you knew Clyde Tanner, you must be from around these parts.
I used to be.
Oh, Bill Beaumont, miss.
My name is Ruth Stoddard.
Stoddard? Martha Stoddard's girl?
Hardly a girl anymore, but yes.
Well, you're waiting for your ma, then.
Yes, and it's not like her to be late. I wired I was coming.
Well, she's got a long ride in from the farm, and the roads are in pretty bad shape after the last storm.
Has it been a bad winter?
Well, not as bad as some, but... Now, if you'd like to get out of the cold, Miss Stoddard, you're welcome to come over and sit by the stove in the office.
Oh, no, thank you. I'll just stay here. I'll just...
Stay here?
Yes. But thank you.
Well, do you mind if I sit here with you for a minute?
No, I don't mind.
You're a teacher, aren't you?
Yes.
Where is it that you teach?
Box Butte.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Up in the Rockies, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot different than the country around here.
Quite a lot. It's hard to believe that it's all Montana. It seems like different worlds.
Yeah, I'll bet it's good to be home.
Home? Yes.
Yeah, your ma's a fine woman. Oh, I've never talked to her much. She's not the talkative kind. You take after her there. But folks around here speak mighty highly of her. A woman alone, she's sure admired, I'll tell you that. Ah, there's your ma. Going to see some kissing and hugging now, I'll bet.
You would lose that bet, Sheriff.
Mrs. Stoddard.
Sheriff Beaumont.
Hello, Mother.
Ruth.
Here, I'll put that bag in back for you. Here now. Here, let me help you up there, Miss Stoddard.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Oh, please call me Bill.
Bill kept me company while I was waiting for you, Mother.
And it was a pleasure.
Much obliged to you for watching out for Ruth, Sheriff Beaumont. Get up now.
I'll ride out to the farm one of these days real soon.
I'd like that, Bill.
Aren't you a little old to still be trying to hook on to a man, Ruth?
I was only being civil.
Oh, sight more than civil, I'd say.
How are you, Mother?
I stay pretty much the same, Ruth.
Yes.
You know that Bill Beaumont can have his pick of all the pretty young girls around here.
Mother, please, I was only talking to the man.
I thought you knew better. I thought you were smarter than that. The trouble, nothing but trouble men are.
So I've heard, Mother, all my life, from you.
You and Bill Beaumont. You just don't figure. Why, he can
Mother,
have his
we were
pick.
Talking, that is all.
I just don't want to see you get hurt.
I know. But it is you who hurts me most, Mother.
Get up.
It's a wonderful dinner, Mother. You remembered that ham is my favorite.
No, I didn't. I just fixed it, that's all.
I'm sorry. I thought that since this was my first night home that you'd done something special for me. Even if it wasn't true, you could have let me think it.
I'm glad you liked the ham.
Mother?
Yes?
I don't know how to begin. We never talk.
Well, what is it we've just been doing?
I don't know. Not talking, not really. I want so much to say this, and I don't know if I should, and and I don't know how.
Well, if you're having regrets before you start, you're sure to afterwards, so why don't you stop now?
I can't do that. Mother, I want to talk with you about Daddy.
Help me clear the table, Ruth.
No, not just yet.
I don't like leaving dishes set.
Mother, please stop.
Don't touch me. Don't you be messing with me, Ruth.
Oh, I remember how you were always saying that to me when I was a little girl. Did you say the same thing to Daddy?
I won't have that kind of talk in my house.
I want to hear about my father. I can barely remember him. I want something of him other than a terrible dream.
A dream?
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Daddy.
Well, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear that he was a cheat and a liar? Do you want to hear that he never loved me? Well, he despised me, and because you were part of me, one more thing hanging on to him and holding him down, he hated you, too.
No, no.
You asked to hear about him. Well, I can tell you more, Ruth. So much more.
No, no.
Yes, you asked, and I'm going to tell you.
I don't want to know.
Well, you should know. Should have told you long ago. I should have kept you from ever believing in love or in men.
Mother, please stop.
Your father, your daddy, well, he hated you. He used to watch you and laugh and tell me that you was uglier even than I. He laughed at us. He hated us. We was ugly to him. So your daddy, he ran off with a pretty cheap little...
You're lying! I won't believe it.
And don't you ever ask me about him again. And don't you cry, Ruth. Why, you're even uglier when you cry. It's what your daddy always said about you. Now help me clear the table.
Yes, Mother.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
It's broken. Being sorry's not going to mend it.
I'll get the broom. I'll sweep it
no,
up.
No, I'll do it. You're no use here at all.
I'm no use anywhere.
Oh, you are good for something, Ruth. For being sorry for broken dishes and for yourself. Oh, why don't you go on up to bed?
I think I'll sit in the parlor for a while.
I don't want you wandering around the house like an unquiet spirit. Go up to your room and go to sleep.
I'm afraid to sleep. Do you want to know why?
I know why. It's the dream.
Yes.
You've had it ever since you was a child. You'd wake up in the night screaming, and I'd go into you, and when you'd see me, you'd scream even louder. You never would say what it was you saw in that dream. Oh, you was a hard child, Ruth. A hard child to love or to comfort, but easy to hurt. You almost asked to be hurt. Just like tonight. I'm not surprised that you still have that dream, because you haven't changed, Ruth. You haven't changed at all.
I'll go to bed now. Good night, Mother.
Good night, Ruth.
Days are long out on the farm, but when it is finally night, the darkness comes fast, like a heavy curtain falling before the light. And the nights are longest of all. Ruth is used to being by herself, but what hurts her is that she feels most alone when she's with her mother. The morning she sees Sheriff Beaumont ride up, she is happy but apprehensive. There's a sense of anticipation at his arrival, as if something were about to happen.
It's Bill. He did come, like he said he would.
Well, you sure been waiting for him, watching out of windows. Don't think I haven't seen you at it. Well, he's here now, so go on out to him. I don't want him in my house.
Mother, he's only paying a visit. He's being kind. He's a kind man.
Oh, go on, run after him. Make a fool of yourself. Go on, Ruth,
I'm going. I wouldn't want him in this house. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Miss Stoddard.
If I'm going to call you Bill, you must call me Ruth.
All right, Ruth. Where's your ma? I'd like to say hello to her.
She's inside. She's not feeling well today.
Oh, nothing serious, I hope.
No, it's nothing serious.
Well, it could be the grip. A lot of folks down with it.
Could be.
You tell her for me that she should be resting and not up looking out windows.
She's watching us?
Hmm. Appears that way.
She's not ill. I just said that.
Oh, so it's not the grip. It's me that's ailing your maw. Why is that?
Oh, it's not you. It's me.
Hmm. It's not good between you and your ma. The other day, I couldn't help but notice it was like ice when the two of you met.
You see a great deal.
Watching folks is a kind of habit with me. It's because I'm a job, I guess. Is it too cold to take a little walk with me?
I'd love to.
This is a mighty nice farm.
Yes. I like it best when things are growing and the hired hands are here working, no matter whether it's plowing or harvest. But in the winter, it gets so quiet and still. Dead.
Yeah, Montana winters can be kind of deadly, and that's a fact. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Where's your pa now?
You've heard the story, haven't you?
Well, I've heard a story.
My father ran off and left my mother and me when I was 10 years old. I haven't seen him since.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not excusing his running. I can understand things going sour between a man and a woman. What I can't understand is his deserting you. His child, his own baby girl. He never come back once to see you?
No, he never did.
I'm really sorry.
It was a long time ago.
Are you trying to say to me that it doesn't matter to you anymore?
Yes, that's right.
No, I don't believe you. I can see the hurt still in your eyes. We'd best be getting back.
I'm sorry, Bill. It's hard for me to think of or talk about my father. I want to, but it's so hard for me. And then there's Mother. She still hates him so, and I...
There's no need forcing yourself. If someday you feel like talking, I hope you'll come talk to me.
Why, thank you, Bill.
Well, I'll be riding out this way again tomorrow. Could I come by and see you?
Yes, please do.
I'll be seeing you, Ruth.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Give my regards to your ma.
Dreaming.
Yes.
What was you dreaming about? Tell me about the dream.
No, I...
Why won't you tell me? Are you afraid?
Yes.
That's why you come here, I know, because of the dream. Now tell me. I have to know what it is that you see in your dream.
I see Daddy.
How do you see him?
I see him dead. I see his face and his hand in the snow. He's dead. He didn't run away, he died. Tandy Robards says he's dead. She told me so. She did. She did.
Who is Tandy Robards?
She's a woman who looks inside of people.
Whatever are you talking about?
Did I kill him, Mother? Did I? Is that what happened? I can't remember. I can only see flashes, little torn bits and pieces. But I know that Daddy died. I know he didn't run away like you said he did. Did I kill him, Mother? Did I? I can't remember. I must know. Tandy Robards looked inside me and she saw, but she wouldn't tell me. She said to come to you. You have to tell me, Mother. I can't live not knowing. Why were you so angry? Why did you drag me up the stairs? Why did you lock me in the closet? Why were you punishing me, Mother? What had I done? Oh, what had I done out of the snow, Mother? What?
Nothing. You did nothing, Ruth. Now go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
And know that none of it was your doing. Sleep. Sleep well for once. Mama's gonna make it all right. You just go to sleep. And sleep well, dear Ruth. My dear Ruth.
Yes, Mama. Mother? Mother, why did you let me sleep so long? Mother, where are you? Mother? Mother? Mother, are you here? Mother?
Come on. Come away from here, Ruth. I want you to go into the house.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take care of things in the barn.
What do you mean? You mean you're going to take her down from there? You're going to take the rope from around her neck? Is that what you mean?
Go on in the house.
Don't leave me alone for long.
I won't. I won't. I promise, Ruth. I won't leave you alone. Ruth? Are you all right?
I took this quilt from her bed. I thought we could cover her with it. I know she doesn't feel the cold now, but she wouldn't have wanted people looking at her. We can put this over her, can't we?
Yeah.
Oh, why did she do it, Bill? Why did she? Last night, I remember, she was so sweet to me. Like I'd always wanted her to be. Why? Why did she want to die?
Maybe this'll tell you.
What is it?
A letter I found in her apron pocket.
Would you read it for me? I can't.
Are you sure you want me to?
Yes.
All right. My dear Ruth, these years have been torment for me. All these long years since I killed him.
I killed your father, my husband. But he was never really a father to you or a husband to me, so I told myself that I'd killed some evil stranger, a wanderer who'd come here to do us harm, an intruder. And it was that, truly that. Still, I did murder, and I have suffered for it every day since. I write this to you to explain, not to excuse myself. I ask only your understanding. Your forgiveness is too much to beg of you. It was in the winter. You'd gone to visit your Aunt Idy. He come to me and told me that he was leaving me, that he'd met someone he loved to look at and to touch. He told me he couldn't stand to see me or to feel me near him. Ah, if only he'd gone then, right after those things were said. But there was a blizzard that night. We was trapped together, two people caught in fearsome hatred and loathing. And it went on for days and days. I thought it would never end. I had to do something to end it. I intended to kill myself with his gun, but he walked into the room, and I don't know why, I'll never know why, but he tried to stop me. Fought. The gun fired and he fell. The gun was in my hand. He was lying on the floor, not dead, but moaning, bleeding. And I fired again. And again and again. And then he was dead. But that wasn't enough for me. I went out through the snow to the barn and I got an axe. I carried it back to the house. And after I finished with him, I buried the pieces of him in the snow. And the next day it stopped snowing. A Chinook blew in, a warm, dry wind, melting the snow and freeing the roads. And you come home from Aunt Ida's. You kept asking me where Daddy was. I just hated it that you loved him still. I told you Daddy's gone. No, you said I'll find him. You ran outside. I called to you, but you wouldn't stop. You found him in the melting snow, and I locked you in the closet while I went and dug through the snow into the hard ground and put him deeply in it. You was such a little girl, I thought you'd forget what you saw that day. I never wanted to share my torture and my guilt with you. I'm sorry that you shared in it, Ruth. The shame and the horror is mine
alone. Bury it with me. My love to you, Mama.
Oh,
you understand, finally. And I do forgive you, Mama. Bill, please take me out of here. I can't stand here another minute.
Where will you go?
Back to Box Butte. It's the only place I have.
Maybe not. I'll look for you in the spring, Ruth, when things are grown. I'll be here.
Yes. Well, thank you, Bill.
The children are playing in the yard. There is still snow on the ground. Everything is the same as when Ruth Stoddard left school to visit her mother. Everything except Ruth Stoddard. It may have been only 2 weeks, but it seems an entire lifetime has passed. In a way, a new life has begun for Ruth. She steps inside the building.
Ruth, I've been waiting for you. How are you?
I'm all right, Evelyn. Walk with me to my class. I'm so anxious to see it again.
Is it any different to you?
No, no different. A little musty, maybe.
You seem different.
I am, I think.
I wanted to tell you how sorry I am about your mother.
Thank you, Evelyn. And thank you, too, for helping me shed light in some dark corners. No more dark corners and no more bad dreams. That's what's different about me. I've also decided that this will be my last term here.
Oh, I'll miss you.
I'll miss you, too. I'm going home. All the ghosts are gone. It's time to begin living again.
Yes. I think it's finally your time.
And finally, my life.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Daddy's Gone, was written by Pamela Russell and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Lorne Greene. Our stars were Gene Howell, Lillian Baev, and Keith Andy. Featured in the cast were Jane Webb and Robin Braxton. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Maxwell House Coffee. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop.
This is Andy Griffin. Join us tomorrow at the same time. I've got another story I think you'll find riotously amusing.